Welcome to the April 8th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show, where we do a deep dive market analysis every day and cover the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. This is your host, Space Marine, live from space. So it's been almost a week now since that major rally that brought Bitcoin's price from around $4,100 all the way to over $5,000. That happened around April 2nd, just after midnight. And the highest Bitcoin got after that rally was like about 5310 on Bitstamp on April 3rd. And then Bitcoin was pushed back a bit. There was obvious resistance at $5,300. Bitcoin dropped to as low as $4,800. So there's support at $4,800. But since hitting a local minimum on April 4th of $4,800, Bitcoin has been rising. There has been obvious buying pressure in the Bitcoin market. And over the weekend, we have seen Bitcoin struggle against the resistance levels. There was also resistance at $5,100. So on Saturday, Bitcoin went as high as $5,200. It finally got through that $5,100 level. But late on Saturday, Bitcoin got pushed back again and went down as low as $4,950. But since then, the buying pressure has been dominant, like it has been since early February. And Bitcoin rallied to as high as $5,330 on Bitstamp just before midnight. Yesterday. And Bitcoin was rejected though from the $5,300 level. And this morning Bitcoin dropped as low as about $5,150. That's above the $5,100 resistance level though. So the tail over the weekend has been the tail of two resistance levels, one at $5,100 and another at $5,300 to $5,400, which is the main resistance level to watch. We have gotten through the $5,100 resistance level, which is kind of a big deal. The market is pushing upwards. If this was still a full-on bear market, Bitcoin likely would have got completely rejected after this major rally and dropped all the way down to like 4,000 or lower, but instead it's pushing upwards, trying to push the bar higher. And now we've got to watch that $5,300 level to see if we could break it. Whenever Bitcoin approaches it, it's happened two times now, it gets rejected pretty hard. Right now Bitcoin is over $5,200, it's at $5,210 to be exact as I speak, and it's trying to make another test at $5,300, I think. So that's something to watch throughout the day. If we could break $5,300 to $5,400, if we break that resistance level, we could be talking about $6,000 per Bitcoin. And going backwards to like September or October, even like most of 2018, actually, Bitcoin was around the $6,000 to $6,500 level for a long time during 2018. That was kind of like a natural price level for Bitcoin for a while. A lot of people thought it was the bottom. So I think if we see more of a rally, that's where we're gonna go, like 6,000 to 6,500, go back to that level we were before the big crash in November. Remember in November there was a crash from like 6,000 down to 3,000 by the middle of December, and that was from Bitcoin Cash forking. There was like a really ugly battle when Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin SV separated from each other. Also, the backed physical Bitcoin futures were delayed. And by the way, the backed physical Bitcoin futures, like, there's no more timeline for them, and we don't know when they're coming. But during 2018, for a while, there was a lot of excitement that we're going to have physical Bitcoin futures instead of just the paper Bitcoin futures we have in CME. Like, so we have Bitcoin futures on CME, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, but they're backed by cash completely, so they're paper Bitcoins, and there's no actual Bitcoins involved in their trading. But if we would have got these physical Bitcoin futures unbacked, that would have involved actual Bitcoins. Like, the backed physical Bitcoin futures would have been one-day futures, basically, where someone buys the futures contract, and the same day they get physical, actual Bitcoins into their account. So that would have massively increased spot demand, because it would open up a door for institutional investors and other traders on stock platforms to directly buy Bitcoin within the same day, which would increase demand on the spot market. So during 2018, for a while, the market was excited about that, but then it's like kind of not happening right now. At least there's no set timeline anymore, because BACT is having problems with the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, CFTC. They're having a hard time getting the CFTC to approve that. So that happened around the same time Bitcoin Cash forked in November. Like, it was also announced that these physical Bitcoin futures aren't coming yet. And then also the SEC increased its aggression against scam ICOs and ICOs in general. So the ICO space pretty much totally stopped in the United States around that time too. So all three of those factors put together, the Bitcoin Cash fork, the backed physical Bitcoin futures not happening, and the ICOs getting nuked by the SEC. That's what brought us to our bear market low around $3,000 and took us away from that price zone of $6,000 to $6,500. But it appears now the market is recovering, and we're getting closer and closer to heading back to 6,000 in pretty quick fashion, too. I remember just a week ago, literally 1 week ago, Bitcoin was below $4,200, and now it's $1,000 higher than that. So it's borderline like a bull market sort of feeling right now. Like, we can't say the bear market's over yet, though. I think it's becoming safer to say that $3,100 was the bear market low, like the bottom of the market. But we can't say the bear market's over yet. I would like to see more months of consistent and sustained gains overall, since it's just been a week now of this outright sort of bull market activity. But I guess since early February, the market has been generally rising. Of course, the technical parameter to indicate a bear market is like 20% below the peak price. So, you know, $20,000 was the peak price for Bitcoin, minus 20%. That's like $16,000. So if Bitcoin gets back to 16,000, then technically, I think the bear market is over. That's how it technically works. And that might be the reality for when we could really declare the bear market to be over. So we got a little ways to go. Moving on to the rest of the market analysis. Ethereum is up almost 6% this morning. It's at $178. Ethereum is doing very well, $18.8 billion market cap. And also, going back to Bitcoin, it's almost at a $92 billion market cap right now. That's a lot higher than it was during the lows of the bear market. It's approaching $100 billion again for the Bitcoin market cap. But also keep in mind, there's like tens of trillions of dollars in the stock and bond markets, and there's like $10 trillion in the gold market. Bitcoin has a very small market cap compared to like stocks and bonds and gold, and that gives it a lot of room to grow. So I talked about on a past show, like, if there's a big stock market crash, and that's actually likely in the next year or two because the bond yield curve inverted, which is like always an indicator, like almost 100% of the time, I believe, that there will be a big stock market crash in about a year or two. So when we finally see that stock market crash, there'll probably be a lot of diversification into Bitcoin, and even if a small fraction of the tens of trillions of dollars in the stock market is put into Bitcoin, we could see the biggest Bitcoin rally we've ever seen before. Moving on with the market analysis, Ripple is down 1.5% this morning. It's near 35.5 cents, $14.8 billion market cap. And keep in mind, this morning there is a lot of crypto showing up in the red, but that's just because Bitcoin was at like $5,300 or a little higher, like about 24 hours ago. But overall, all the cryptos are a lot higher than they were a week ago, like a lot higher. So there might be some negative percentages this morning on the market, but overall, they're really rallying a lot. It's just we hit like a local maxima like a day ago. So compared to a day ago, some cryptos are in the red. Like Bitcoin Cash is down 4.3%, but it's at $308. That's really high for Bitcoin Cash compared to recent times, $5.5 billion market cap. So Bitcoin Cash was like lower than $100 during the bear market low. So now it's like over $300. That's like severe gains, like major, major gains. Actually, at the North American Bitcoin Conference, like I got like some scratch tickets for like, they're like, you could win like $1 up to $500 of Bitcoin Cash. I got like four of them and I won $1 in each one. So I only got $4 of Bitcoin Cash. But now like I looked at it, it's $10. So like $4 became $10. And just imagine if someone put like, you know, $4,000 into Bitcoin Cash, it would be like $10,000 now. So Bitcoin Cash has had some really big gains. Litecoin is at $89. That's really high for Litecoin too. During the bear market low, it was at $24. But yet the percentage gain for the past 24 hours is showing it's down like 5%. Litecoin and Bitcoin Cash are battling for that number four spot on CoinMarketCap. Bitcoin Cash actually has an exact market cap of $5.455 billion. While Litecoin has a market cap of $5.438 billion. So they could probably like keep lapping each other and going back and forth between the number four and number five spot until one of them decisively goes higher than the other one. EOS is at $5.42, $4.9 billion market cap. It's technically done 0.3% in the past 24 hours. But overall, EOS is up a ton. It's back near that ICO value. They had the biggest ICO in history. It was a $5 billion ICO. And for the longest time during the bear market lows, EOS was way below its ICO value. But now it's back to its ICO value, which is really good news. Binance Coin is at $18.50. Binance Coin actually hasn't been doing that good during this rally. Like, it's been going up with everything else, but not as much as everything else. So Binance Coin has had kind of like a lukewarm response to the rally. And I saw it as high as $20 maybe like a day or two ago, but now it's at $18.50. That being said, Binance is going to launch their Binance DEX this month. I don't know the exact date yet. They haven't announced that yet. But when they actually launch the Binance DEX, which is going to be running off of the Binance chain, and the Binance coin is the coin of the Binance chain, that could cause Binance coin to have a pretty big rally when that's finally announced. So that's going to come sometime soon. Stellar is up 0.5% this morning. It's near 13 cents. I remember it was like 10 cents maybe before this rally started. So it's like up 30%, $2.5 billion market cap. Cardano's been doing really good in general. It's technically down 4% this morning, $2.25 billion market cap. Tron is down like 0.2%, $1.9 billion market cap. Bitcoin SV is down 4% at $83. Bitcoin SV has also had a lukewarm response to this rally overall. And in general, Bitcoin SV has not been doing that good compared to the other cryptocurrencies since it launched. Bitcoin SV kind of precipitated that crash in November, and it was over $100 when it launched, and it's still $83. So Bitcoin SV has just not been doing that good. It might have too much competition from Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash. Monero is up 1.5% this morning. So not everything is down this morning. Some cryptos are higher than they were 24 hours ago. One of them is Monero. Monero is over $70, $1.19 billion market cap. And by the way, Monero was below a $1 billion market cap before this rally, and also Dash. But both Dash and Monero are over a $1 billion market cap. So now we have 14 cryptocurrencies with a market cap over $1 billion. That's a higher number than it was before. And I think the number of cryptocurrencies with over a $1 billion market cap is kind of like one of the ways you can measure the health of the crypto market. So that number is growing. IOTA is at a $0.97 billion market cap. It's actually down 4% this morning. And IOTA is close, though. Like, if there's another bit of a rally in the crypto space, IOTA is going to go over $1 billion market cap, too, bringing the number up to 15. So we usually don't talk about Ethereum Classic on this market analysis, but one interesting thing over the weekend was Ethereum Classic rallied a lot. It went up, like, at least 20% on, like, one of the days over the weekend. And Ethereum Classic was kind of like a leading indicator for the rally that happened yesterday that finally broke that $5,100 level for Bitcoin. So Ethereum Classic went up a ton, and that preceded the rally for Bitcoin on Sunday. And the same thing kind of happened with Dogecoin before this major rally started. Like, the morning before the major rally, like maybe about 18 hours before the rally started, Dogecoin rallied like 20%. And then suddenly the whole market rallied. We broke that $4,200 resistance level for Bitcoin. And then the rest is history. Now we're at $5,200. So sometimes when you see these smaller cryptocurrencies rally like a lot, like, at first, like, rally, like, 10%, then they're up 20%, maybe up 30%. That could be a leading indicator that something's about to happen for the overall crypto market. So Ethereum Classic was the leading indicator yesterday. It had a huge rally. And like I said, Dogecoin was the leading indicator for this big rally in general, believe it or not. And just to look at Dogecoin, it's down 5% this morning, but its market cap is, like, $380 million. For the longest time during the bear market low, the Dogecoin market cap was between $200 and $250 million. So Dogecoin's market cap is a lot higher now, but it's technically down 5% on the morning. And it's been going down a little bit over the past few days. Maybe it rallied a little too much. Like, it went up like 100% during this rally over the last week, but now it's given back some of those gains. Overall, the total crypto market cap is now about $179, $180 billion. So it's actually $180 billion. That's 80% above the bear market low. And so we could probably start to say with some confidence that yes, the $100 billion total crypto market cap at the bear market low, that was the bottom. We probably could say that. I would be very shocked if we went back to that or below that. Because now we're 80% above it, and it's been consistently gaining above it. It's not like a fluke, like we suddenly found ourselves 80% above the bear market low. It's been building for a while since mid-December. We've been seeing a consistent uptrend, especially since early February, and now it's early April. So for 2 months straight, there's been a consistent uptrend, and we are well above that bear market low. The highest the total crypto market cap has gotten during this rally is $185 billion on April 3rd. So that's the level to watch. Maybe that's some sort of resistance level for the overall crypto market. So right now we're at $180 billion, and the level to watch is $185 billion. To get to new highs during this rally. So that completes the market analysis for the day. Basically, the market is on an uptrend, and we got to watch that $5,300 to $5,400 level for Bitcoin. Right now, we're at $5,200, so we could test it again today if we're lucky. So that's something to watch. And if we break out from 5,300, we could get to 6,000 or 6,500. Of course, we could also get rejected again and stay near $5,000 or so. Moving on to the first interesting news story of the day. Apparently, San Francisco University, which is SFSU, has received $25 million of Ripple XRP from Chris Larson, who's an alumnus of this university. So that might be the biggest cryptocurrency donation to a university in history. The Ripple co-founders, Jed McCallum and Chris Larson, they have like a tremendous amount of Ripple, like billions of dollars of Ripple, because they got a significant percentage of it when they launched the coin. So they have been known to make big charitable donations with it. And apparently this $25 million sent to San Francisco State University is the biggest donation of cryptocurrency in history to United States University, or probably to any university in the world. Moving on to the next story. Yet another cryptocurrency Ponzi scheme has been uncovered. This one is in South Korea. So there was this website where there was a big membership fee, but its numbers grew rapidly because it promised like cash bonuses to people who recruited their friends and family. So this is like how all the big crypto Ponzi schemes have worked, like OneCoin and BitConnect. Basically, it made a system where people could profit off recruiting other people, so they would aggressively try to recruit their friends and family to join and pay that membership fee in order to get cash for themselves. And apparently this Ponzi scheme was selling something called MCoin, and MCoin never existed. But everyone was promised that MCoin would rise significantly in value and pretty much replace the name with OneCoin. This sounds a lot like OneCoin, but it's MCoin this time. So always be very wary of these schemes that say this cryptocurrency is going to go up a lot in value. And I guess a lot of ICOs have done that sort of thing. That's why it's so easy for these Ponzi schemes to recruit people, because the ICO space in general has always had this mantra of like, okay, we're going to launch this coin and then it's going to gain a ton of value. I mean, they're doing no different than that, these Ponzi scheme people. And apparently $18.7 million was defrauded in this case, and 12 people were arrested ultimately. And the most interesting thing about this story, because we've seen lots of stories like this, is that an artificial intelligence, an AI, was essential in leading to these arrests and finding the scheme in general. So there's an AI that South Korea has developed, apparently, that looks through the entire internet and finds Ponzi schemes like this. And it recognized this and tipped off the police. So now we have literal RoboCops inside of the internet. Like, we have an AI program from South Korea, at least. And I'm sure the United States has one, too. But yeah, now there's like AI programs like helping the police search through the internet to catch like crypto Ponzi schemes and probably other Ponzi schemes in general. And I guess it's the future. Moving on to the next story. So the biggest lawsuit in cryptocurrency history is proceeding. So this is the lawsuit between Craig Wright and Ira Kleinman, who is Dave Kleinman's brother. It's like the estate of Dave Kleinman. So Craig Wright and Dave Kleinman were some of the earliest Bitcoiners. That's a fact. And they mined like a million Bitcoins together, which is like billions of dollars. So that's like the most you hear of someone mining Bitcoin. Like in the early days, if they really worked hard, you could mine like a million Bitcoins, which is like a tremendous, unimaginable amount nowadays. Right now, there's huge mining firms that probably earn like one Bitcoin per day. Back then, they were probably earning like dozens of Bitcoins per day, or even more, like hundreds of Bitcoins per day, which just a bunch of normal computers strapped together or something like that. So they mined a ton of Bitcoins together, and then Craig Wright never gave the heirs of Dave Kleinman any of those Bitcoins. Craig Wright says he doesn't owe it to them. And this case comes back to like, who is Satoshi? Because Craig Wright has claimed to be Satoshi multiple times. He keeps doing it. And it's not really helping him in this case. Like, now they're investigating him whether he's Satoshi. So this case has turned from, like, trying to settle the dispute between Craig Wright and the estate of Dave Kleinman to try to, like, maybe, like, divide those Bitcoins up and give it to, like, you know, the heirs of Dave Kleinman. Now it's become, like, trying to find out who's Satoshi. So the judge in the case has demanded that Craig Wright tell the court, like, who was in control of Satoshi's three email addresses. And this is why this is the biggest case in cryptocurrency history. Because at the least, it's going to determine whether Craig Wright is Satoshi or not. And if by some far chance that Craig Wright is Satoshi, it's going to like reveal Satoshi. So right now, they're getting into the real grit of this case, trying to find if Craig Wright is Satoshi. And since this is a federal case in the United States, like, literally, if the judge decides, yes, you got to give this info over, like, Craig Wright has to give the info over. So it's going to reveal, eventually, in the next months, whether Craig Wright is Satoshi. And if he is Satoshi, it's going to be quite groundbreaking. And it might spiral into a much bigger issue. I'm sure the United States and the rest of the world has been looking for who Satoshi is for a long time. So I guess Craig Wright should not have been saying he's Satoshi over and over, and he's been doing it recently too. But he hasn't proved it. So Craig Wright says he's Satoshi, but he has not proved it to anyone. Like, he would have to sign a message with the private key from, like, the original Bitcoin wallet from the Genesis blog. That'd be, like, the outright proof that he's Satoshi, but he has refused to do that. But if the judge in this case demands it, and that might be coming soon, then he's going to have to sign it or just, like, admit that he's not Satoshi. So this is the most important case in cryptocurrency history, maybe, at least so far. Moving on to the next story. So Gazprom, G-A-Z-P-R-O-M, is, like, the biggest natural gas, maybe oil company in Russia. It's, like, the state company. I guess Russia is technically, like, capitalist since, like, the collapse of the Soviet Union, but they have this state-run gas industry still. And they're going to be using blockchain technology for their gas operations. So there's more to cryptocurrency than just, like, the monetary aspect of it. So Bitcoin's, like, the pure monetary aspect of cryptocurrency and blockchain. But blockchain can also be used to build a distributed ledger where you have complete transparency and also complete control and security. So blockchain technology is extremely secure. It's built in cryptography. And it can also be very transparent. So they're going to implement blockchain technology like smart contracts. It's kind of like what's going on with Ethereum, the smart contracts and such. They're going to use that for Gazprom. And they'll probably build their own blockchain. That's usually what happens, or use a platform specifically meant for supply chains. But the benefit of this is that if you use blockchain technology for a supply chain, you can identify inefficiencies in the supply chain and, like, fix those inefficiencies. So overall, the effect of blockchain is to make a supply chain shorter and more efficient, which increases profits. Like, if there's anyone stealing gas along the line, they'll see that in the blockchain and fix it, sort of thing. So this has been going on around the world for all sorts of supply chains, and this might be one of the bigger examples where we got this huge Russian gas company using blockchain technology. So blockchain is easily spreading across the world, but also keep in mind, this is not cryptocurrency. This has nothing to do with Bitcoin. It's just another use of blockchain technology. Moving on to the next story. In China, apparently they're buying up lots of Tether, which is USDT. So Tether is a stable coin that is pegged to the US dollar. It's a cryptocurrency, but it's literally like one US dollar per coin. And it's used for trading, like, in places where fiat currency is, like, not allowed for Bitcoin trading, like China, for example. So in China, they're actually buying Tether for 3% above its market values for, like, $1.03 instead of a dollar, because it's one of the only ways, apparently, that they could actually buy Bitcoin and get into the crypto market. I'm not sure about the exact legalities of this. Fiat to crypto trading has been banned in China since, like, September 2017. That's what caused the great exodus of major exchanges from China. Like, all the biggest exchanges used to be in China, and most of the fiat to Bitcoin trading was in China. Like, it was the Chinese yuan that dominated Bitcoin trading until this happened. So we had Binance, OKCoin, which is now, like, OKX, and Huobi, all based in China. And most of the fiat to Bitcoin trading in the world was in China with Chinese yuan. And then it was banned all at once, and the amount of Chinese yuan used for Bitcoin trading basically went to, like, 0%. But there's a huge appetite for Bitcoin in China and cryptocurrency in general. And I think it might not be completely illegal for them to even buy Tether, because Tether is a cryptocurrency too. So if they're taking their fiat and buying Tether with it, that counts as fiat to crypto trading. But it might be some sort of loophole, I guess. And they're buying lots of Tether and apparently getting away with it so far. And in general, the Chinese yuan is now increasingly being used to buy Bitcoin. So this could have a major effect on the Bitcoin market if Chinese investors are allowed for a long period of time to consistently buy Bitcoin again. And there was a ruling in October 2018 that people in China could own Bitcoin and transfer it. And this basically recognized that Bitcoin is property in China. So it's not illegal to actually own Bitcoin or transfer it in China. And that's, like, major. And now they're finding a way to get their money into it again, to take their fiat and turn it into Tether and then buy Bitcoin with it. So this could be one of the reasons we're seeing the increasing buying pressure in the Bitcoin market since early February, maybe. I'm not exactly sure about the details of this, particularly because it sounds like it still might be in violation of the fiat to crypto ban in China, but it also might be a loophole. Moving on to the next story. So there's this exchange called Paxful that's been around for a while now, at least like 5 years. I think I remember when it launched in like 2014 or 2015. So Paxful is actually like most well known for trading gift cards for cryptocurrency, or maybe just trading gift cards. But there's definitely a cryptocurrency element where people buy Bitcoin with gift cards. And this has been scammy since the beginning, because buying Bitcoin or crypto with gift cards in general like has a huge markup of like at least like 20-30%, maybe even 100%. And that has a lot to do with credit card fraud, probably. Like, I'm just speculating here, but basically one of the only ways to cash out a credit card is to buy gift cards with it, and then they trade these gift cards quickly for Bitcoin, and then they got the profits in their hands, and they're willing to pay a high markup because it wasn't their money in the first place. So Paxful has always been kind of like really sketchy, and apparently Nigerians are petitioning the CBN, which is the Central Bank of Nigeria, and the EFCC, the Economic and Financial Crimes Commission, about Paxful, because they're running accounts on Paxful and their accounts are being closed down apparently without reason, and also their accounts are being deducted a lot. So they're saying it's because Paxful is based in another country. Apparently it's based in Estonia, in the Baltics. And so Nigeria is blaming Paxful for like stealing their money and stuff, but I'm not going to go too into the story. I don't know exactly what's going on here, because I know in general Paxful is probably pretty scammy and it's being used to trade fraudulent gift cards for, like, you know, Bitcoin. So who knows exactly what's going on here, especially with that Nigerian email scam where they say, hey, I'm the Prince of Nigeria and, you know, send me like $1,000 and, you know, I'll send you my millions of dollars. Please help me. I need to access my millions of dollars and you're the only way, but I need $1,000. So that's how the Nigerian classic email scam works. Maybe Paxful has something to do with it nowadays. So I'm not going to get too much further. That was enough speculation. But apparently Paxful is kind of being, like, it might get sued by Nigeria or something like that, because there's sketchy things happening there. Moving on to the next story. So the Bitcoin block halving is happening in May 2020, where Bitcoin's block reward will go from 12.5 Bitcoins to 6.25 Bitcoins. But we have another block halving before that for Litecoin, so that's coming really soon, actually. It's coming in 119 days, to be exact. The block reward for Litecoin will go from 25 to 12.5 Litecoins. So this is happening in August 2019. That's 4 months from now. And that's going to drastically reduce the supply of Litecoins on the market, because the miners constantly are dumping their rewards. And Litecoin's the number one cryptocurrency. So there's actually a tremendous amount of mining going on with Litecoin. It's like the number one option for cryptocurrency, which is like a major facet of the mining industry. So suddenly in August 2019, 4 months from now, we're going to see the supply of mined coins for Litecoin reduced in half. And that's going to really help increase Litecoin's price, probably. It might be part of the reason why Litecoin's rallying a lot more than other cryptos. Like I said, it went from $24 during the bear market low up to $89 right now. So that might not be what's going on yet, but definitely in August when that block reward halves and in the months after that, we could see a Litecoin rally. So this Litecoin rally we're seeing now could get a nice little boost in 4 months from the block halving. And then we got the May 2020 Bitcoin block halving to look forward to, which helps the entire crypto market. Because just like with Litecoin, where the miners are constantly dumping their coins for cash, same thing is going on with Bitcoin. Like, they have to dump their coins immediately to keep their operations going. And then when you reduce that dumping by half all at once, it helps increase the price of Bitcoin. So that's all I have for you today on this April 8th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show. Come back tomorrow for another exciting episode. And go to Crypto.IQ for the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. Also join the Crypto.IQ trading desk. They have made 314% profits since July in the worst of the bear market. And if you join the Crypto.IQ trading desk, you can see their trades in real time. And they have a full analysis of each trade. Just reading that's enough to become a cryptocurrency expert. But then you could even ask our expert traders questions in real time, and they'll answer your questions pretty quickly. So joining the Crypto.IQ trading desk is the best way to become an expert cryptocurrency trader and the best way to become a profitable cryptocurrency trader. So join today. This is your host, Space Marine, signing out. I remain in space.